Well, you know, the responsibility of the pastorship comes in many forms. In case you didn't notice this morning, neither myself or Brother Dwayne is Brother Hubert. And Brother Hubert was not feeling well this morning. So, as pastor, it falls to our Brother Dwayne. And I know that, you know, when we preach the gospel, And any preacher that stands up here endeavors to be a servant of God. And it kind of relieves you of the burden of, you know what, I don't have to be the best speaker or the best orator in the world, because all I'm really doing is trying to communicate the message that God places upon our hearts. And sometimes that message is placed on us a week ahead of time, and sometimes it's an hour. And I know our Brother Dwayne stands up here as a servant of God, led by the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that, you know, that we get the message that we need now. And I'd ask also that you keep your Brother Hubert in your prayers. He's feeling better. And I give to you our brother and pastor, Dwayne Ealy.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you for that beautiful special. I always knew that this day would come. I have been somewhat prepared. I've had this sermon in my Bible for many years, hoping I'd never have to use it. But the title of my sermon today is Responsibilities of the Members of the Church of Christ. And I don't want those people who aren't members to think, oh, this doesn't apply to me. It does. It applies to everyone. Everyone in this building this day. But those that are members of the Church of Christ, it applies to you more. And this is a sermon that that I preached in Africa many years ago. I've never preached this sermon here. I haven't had time to read over the scriptures, but I trust in the Lord that He will be with me, to guide me and direct me. And you know, maybe there's some reason I'm preaching today. I don't know. But I think this also is an example to us as the Church of Christ, as the body of Christ, that we always need to be ready. We need to be prepared for whatever life throws at us. And life has many challenges, many trials, many temptations. But we need to be ready. Ready for that day that we lay down this life and meet our Lord and Savior face to face. Ready for what is going to come tomorrow. We don't know. We know there will be challenges ahead for each one of us. I want to start today in 2 Nephi, chapter 13, verses 24 and 25. A very familiar scripture to each one of us. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. We know what this gate is. Very clear here. that it is repentance and baptism by water. We have entered into that gate. Those baptized members in this room, you have entered into that gate. But we know that not all is done, don't we? Verse 25, and then are ye in this straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. Once we've entered in that gate, we are on that path. But if we would continue reading on here, we know that that is not all, is it? That is not all. We must continue in our life to follow after God and to serve Him and to press forward with that steadfastness. Many false teachings today don't tell that last part. They preach of being saved, and those are false teachings. Because we know that baptism is just the beginning. That we have to endure to the end and serve God all the days of our life. Let's turn over to James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I didn't know what today was going to bring when I went to bed last night. We don't know what the morrow will bring. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is short. Even if we live to be 100 years old, our life is short. And we need to make good use of that time in serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of improving our time in doing our good works, being that light unto the world, being that good example that we might draw others unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Alma. Chapter 9, verse 41. This is on page 346. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for that endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. This scripture is very clear about what this life is. But much of the world does not understand that, do they? They think this life is a time to try to get ahead. To have a career where they can make lots of money and have all the toys and do the things that they want to do in this life. They kind of miss the whole point. And I know the world is filled with these kind of people. I work with them every day. Every day. People where religion has no place in their life. No place. We know people, some that have their religion has a small place. And many of you in here, religion is the most important thing. Our service to God, which it should be. But I know people that it has no place in their lives. They have missed the whole point of this life. It says that it is a probationary state. A time to prepare to meet God. That's what this life is. We can never lose focus of that. Yeah, there's things we have to do in this life. We have to earn a living. We have to provide for our families. Those are important. And they are part of our service. But we have to understand that we have to focus more on the religious part. On our service to our Lord and Savior. A time to prepare to meet God. And what we do in this life will determine where we're going to spend eternity. Those people that have no place for God in their life, it's not going to be well with them. It may be they may have a rich temporal life while they're on this earth. But they will be miserable for eternity. This is our time to prepare to meet God. There's no other time. This is it. To prepare for that endless state that will go on forever and ever. Let's turn over to Mosiah chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is on page 220. And as we read through these scriptures, you know, I have the responsibilities of the members of the Church of Christ. And I have a list here of scriptures. But we don't want to think this is all. This is all. There are other things that I won't cover today. But this is a lot of them that we must do. Mosiah 2, 16 and 17. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. We read earlier that, you know, to go through that gate, that we must have repentance. And then cometh baptism. And this tells us what this repentance is. And we need this repentance before we're baptized. But as we spoke of earlier, you know, that's not all. Every time we sin, we need this same repentance in our lives. That ye must repent of your sins. And we see here that, you know, it takes more than just a repentance. Repentance, saying that you're sorry, if we read on here, it says to forsake them. We must have a desire in our hearts to forsake those sins, to put them out of our life. That has to be the desire in our heart. We must humble ourselves. We must come to the Lord in a humble attitude when we ask for forgiveness. Ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And if we do this in a humble manner, with a desire to forsake our sins, God will forgive our sins every time. But that's the process we need to go through, to have that desire to not commit that sin again. But then, a month later, If we commit that sin again, even though we had that desire in our heart not to do it, we have to go through this same process again. And if we do, God will forgive us. We have to confess that we're sinners. This is the body of Christ. Christ's church here on earth. But we commit sin. We know that there's only one person that ever lived that didn't commit sin. And that was Jesus Christ. We have to understand that we're going to commit sin. When we get weak, when we get tempted. But the Lord gave us a process to repent of those sins and to be clean again before our Lord and Savior. Let's look at Helaman 2, verses 120 and 121. This is on page 561. Nevertheless, the people of the church did have great joy because of the conversion of the Lamanites, yea, because of the church which had been established among them. And they did fellowship one with another, and did rejoice one with another, and did have great joy. It is important that we fellowship one with another. It's important that we're sitting in this building during our regular scheduled services. If at all possible, we need to be here for every service. We need to be fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters. This is where we're going to gain our strength to overcome these temptations. This is where we're going to be able to see the examples of our brothers and sisters. If I would spend most of my time fellowshipping with the people I work with, where do you think that would lead me? Many of them spend 3 days a week in the casino, every week. That's a religion. Many of them probably after work go to happy hour, spend their weekends in the bars. Where do you think that would lead me if I would fellowship with them? We know the answer. A lot of times we think, I'm strong, I can do this, I can do that. I can tell you, when we put ourselves in these positions, bad things happen. Just on the news this weekend, there was a 15, 16-year-old girl who claims that she was raped. They're dropping the charges because they can't prove anything. I don't know if she was raped or not. Perhaps she was. But she went to a party. She was drinking. She was drunk. She put herself in a position for bad things to happen. Anytime we put ourselves in these situations, bad things can happen. We need to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Moroni 6, verse 6 on page 762. The church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meet together oft. Partake of the sacrament. When we partake of that sacrament, we are remembering that sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made for us. We are remembering that covenant that we made with Him to serve Him all the days of our life. It says here to meet together to fast and to pray. We have set aside one Wednesday a month to fast and to pray together as a church. I don't want us to get complacent, because that is what happens so often. You know, we start something and we have good intentions, but after a few months, it kind of fades away, doesn't it? We need to remember that day and to fast and to pray for this local, for the work of this Lord in this last day, for our own soul's well-being. Don't take it lightly. Verse 9. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them, whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. The workings of the Holy Spirit. Very important in our lives. Important in our church services. That the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. That the Holy Spirit lead and guide the one that stands up here before us. That Holy Spirit leads and directs each one of us in our life. And those that are baptized members, they have that gift of the Holy Spirit to be with them all the days of their life. It's there. It's there. Some may say, I don't feel it anymore. I don't know where it's at. If that's the case, you need to look into your lives and see why it's not there. Because it is. If it's not active in your life, it is because you have separated yourself from it. It is there. It is a gift that has been promised to us. That gift of the Holy Ghost that will guide us and direct us. That will tell us that we need to be here during every service. And that will tell us that we need to stay out of the casinos. And that we need to stay out of the bars. And all those other things out there to tempt us. It will lead us and guide us. If we will let it. If we will listen to it, that still small voice, but we must listen to it. We must be in tune to the Holy Spirit. Alma, chapter 16, verses 219 through 222. This is on page 429. very familiar scripture on prayer. We've heard this scripture read many times, but it is so good. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Prayer. A vital part of our spiritual life. Our communication with God. We're to continue in prayer. We're to pray over everything in our life. In our fields, when you're at work, you need to be praying. Over all your flocks. Your jobs. Everything in your life, we need to be praying about. Pray for guidance and direction. Morning, midday, and evening. A daily part of our life. Not just once a day. Several times a day. Pray against the power of our enemies. Pray against the adversary. We need to pray against the power of Satan. We have to understand that Satan is very powerful. We know that our Lord and Savior is more powerful. But Satan is more powerful than we are. He's a lot more powerful than we are. That's why we must have Jesus Christ on our side. And He will be there with us if we will pray unto Him. Cry unto Him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. We're to continually have that prayer in our heart that the Lord will be there with us to guide us and direct us and uplift us and strengthen us. Verse 238. And that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which He doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful and prayerful and pray and prayer unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptations of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at that last day. For behold, He rewardeth you no good things. Thanksgiving daily. Thank the Lord for our blessings that we have. Daily. We have so many blessings. Especially in this nation that we live in. You read so many things in the news today. You know, there's people in the world that I'm sure from the day they're born until the day they die, they do not have one good day temporally. Not one good day. They suffer from birth to death. We know it's true. We are blessed temporally. Many blessings. But more important, we know, is those spiritual things. Those spiritual things in our lives. Again, this scripture talks about praying against the temptation of the devil. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. All Satan wants is for us to be miserable like him. That is his reward. But our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his reward is eternal happiness. Forever and ever. That is the reward that he has for us. Alma 4:6. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft and join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of the souls of those who knew not God. We see kind of a little different element, don't we? We talked earlier about meeting together in fasting and prayer for our welfares. For the welfare of the church, for the welfare of this local. But we're to fast and pray for the souls of those who know not God. And how important that is in this day that we live in. We know this is the last days. And we know that the gospel is going to go out to all the world. And we're going to be gathering in the souls of those who know not God as time goes on. We need to pray for those people. Third Nephi, chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. This is on page 668. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We're to pay our tithing. And do you remember where I said I preached this sermon? In Africa. We preach the concept of tithing to our brothers and sisters of Africa. A very poor people. This is a commandment of God. They're still to pay their tithing. There are blessings associated with tithing. It tells about it right here. If we're willing to pay our tithing, it says, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God will bless us for paying our tithing. He has asked us to give a tenth, one tenth. It's important for us to do this. For this work in the last days. Does God need our money? No. The scriptures tell us that everything is God's. We say, oh, I've got a house. I've got some money in the savings. It's all God's. We are the steward of it for this time we're here on earth. everything belongs to God. It's all His. Tithes and offerings. We need to pay our tithing to the church. We need to support this local with our offerings. And if we do, our Lord and Savior will bless us for this. Part of our service to God. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 43. This is on page 223. And I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. We're to help those in need. Above paying our tithing, we're to help those that stand in need, those that are poor, those that are sick, visiting the sick, helping those poor that need food, both temporally and spiritually. A lot of times these can be an opening. That when you help somebody temporally, that it can be an opening to help them spiritually as well, which we know is so much more important. So much more important. The spiritual help that we can give them. That's why we preach the gospel to the world, that they might have salvation. And yes, we're able to help them a little bit temporally. Very little. A little bit with our money. But mostly spiritually, that they might have salvation. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 49. Very common scripture. And behold, I say, and behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God. Sometimes we ask, what do I do? How do I serve God? This is one way. To serve your fellow man. When you're serving your fellow man in any form, you are serving God. These are the words of King Benjamin, one of my favorite characters in the Book of Mormon. The king of these people. Yet he labored with his own hands and served them. He didn't have to, did he? Verse 53. I say unto you that if ye should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say, if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. blessings from God, promises for keeping His commandments, that we would prosper in the land. Not that we would be rich, but He would provide for us the things that we need. There's always promises for following after God. And we know that God is faithful in these things. Faithful to us. If we are willing to follow after Him, He will be there with us to bless us and guide us and uplift us and strengthen us. Let's look at Alma chapter 1, verses 37 through 39, page 301. And when the priests left their labor to impart the word of God unto the people also left their labors to hear the word of God. And when the priest had imparted unto them the word of God, they all returned again diligently unto their labors. And the priest, not esteeming himself above the hearers, for the preacher was no better than the hearer, neither was the teacher any better than the learner. And thus they were all equal. And they did all labor, every man according to his strength. We're all to labor for our support. This is a different concept than the world knows, isn't it? We know that as the Church of Christ, we don't have a paid ministry. That tithing that you pay, the ministry does not get any of that money. It goes to the church and for the spreading of the gospel. We're all equal. We're all equal. A concept that the world really doesn't believe in, does it? So many nations have different classes of people, as does this nation. And I can assure you that many people that we know out there in the world do not consider everyone to be equal. The rich people have a status, don't they? The middle class and the poor, they don't consider them to be equal. We are all equal. I stand before you today to preach this sermon. I am no better than anyone out there. And tomorrow, my alarm will go off at 5 o'clock, and I have to go to work to support my family. What is required of us? Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We are to search the scriptures daily. We're to study. Be diligent about our studies. The Book of Mormon and the Bible. We need to continually be reading and studying to learn more so we can talk to the people of the world for our own understanding, to understand what we need to do in this life. It's important, whether we're ministry or not, that each one of us study the Scriptures. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth, sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth those that are his. We can't deceive him. And I know many people, many churches, many preachers out there in the world today think they're deceiving him by teaching false doctrines, leading away the souls of many. But God knows those that are his. He knows his children. He knows his land. He knows those that are endeavoring to serve him. And if we are endeavoring to serve him and take upon us the name of Christ, which each one of us that entered into those waters of baptism have done, we took upon ourselves the name of Christ to serve him to the end. It says that we are to depart from iniquity. We need to be diligent in that every day of our lives. Because Satan is out there trying to steal away our souls. Trying to tempt us. And he knows where our weaknesses are. We need to be diligent in this, to depart from iniquity. Stay out of those places, out of those situations where we can be led astray, where we can be led away and bound by those chains of Satan. Mosiah 2, 48 through 50, on page 223. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin. For there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. Many ways that we can sin. But this much I can tell you, that if ye do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. Many ways for us to sin out there. We need to be diligent in our lives every day. You know, we read the scripture that choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. You know, that's an everyday thing. We need to choose every day who we're going to serve. It says to watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts. Things that can pop into your mind. When evil things pop into our mind, we can't dwell on them. Pray about them, that they will be removed. Watch your words, your deeds. Everything we think, say, do. Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments which God has given us. And continue in the faith. We must continue. We must endure to the end. We can't give up. Sometimes life can be difficult, can it? Many trials, many temptations, many problems can be discouraging sometimes. But we can't give up. Can't give up. We have to keep pressing forward. And if we do, the Lord will help us. He will help us through these times of trial. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We are to be a light unto the world. We're to be a shining example. We are an example every day. No matter what we do, we are an example. If we get mad in traffic and cut somebody off, we're an example, aren't we? A bad example. If we get mad at somebody at work and speak angrily to them, or an example, a bad example. We as the body of Christ, we are to be a light unto the world. Nobody should ever have to, that knows us, nobody should ever have to come up and ask, are you a Christian? It should be shining forth from us. There should be no question in their minds that we are a light unto the world, that we have something different, that we have something that they want, that they don't see in their lives, that they don't have. That is so important in these last days. As we spread this gospel to the world, things, we're going to see a lot of things happen in the next few years. A lot of things are going to happen. People are going to be brought in to this church in Africa, the Philippines, Phoenix, Arizona. The time is short. The time is short. It's important that we be a light unto the world, because we never know who we talk to when a seed is going to be planted. Maybe somebody that we talked to 10 years ago. Maybe we planted that seed, and it took 10 years to germinate, but now it has started to grow. It's not always easy, is it, to be a continual light unto the world? Because we are humans. We know that the natural man is an enemy to God, something we have to overcome. We have human emotions. Something we need to work on. A desire that we need to have in our heart. That we can be this light unto the world every day, all day long. Mosiah, chapter 8, verses 83 and 84. This is on page 255. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the bar of God, to be judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And if they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness. And if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation. We will be judged by our works, by the things we do in this life. Many religions today will tell you that's not true. That's not true. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. A false teaching that leads away millions. All the scriptures tell us we will be saved by grace. But it also says, after all we do, after all we can do, we will be saved by grace. We will be judged by our works, by the things that we do in our life. By our service, by our example. And this verse 84 is very plain about what happens to us, isn't it? Those that do evil works, to the resurrection of endless damnation. Doesn't sound very good, does it? But those that do good works, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness. That's what awaits us. That's what is in store for us, if we're willing to serve our Lord and Savior all the days of our life. Endless happiness. Without end. No more problems. No more cares. No more troubles. And we're going to have those things in our life. We're going to have problems and cares and troubles. as long as we're in this mortal body. There are great promises for those that are willing to follow after our Lord and Savior and serve Him to the end. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. I like this scripture a lot. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man. Remember, we read earlier that this life is a probationary state. A time to prepare to meet God. We're to fear God and keep His commandments. That's our duty. That is needs to be most important in our lives. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, we can keep secrets from each other, can't we? We can keep secrets from the world. But we can't keep secrets from God. He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. And I think that's one of the key elements for salvation. The scriptures that talk about the desires of our heart. That is so important. Is what is the desire of our heart? If the desire of our heart is to do good and follow after God and to serve Him. That's what God is looking for. And when we sin from time to time, we can be forgiven of that. David is a good example. David committed many sins, didn't he? Perhaps all of them. Murder, adultery. But what was the desire of his heart? The desire of his heart was to serve God. And when he sinned, he was repentant. We need to be that same way. The desire of our heart needs to be our service to our Lord and Savior. To follow His commandments. And if we're willing to do that, there's great rewards for us. That we might spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. Thank you.